I want you to put your hands together.
There goes to the neighborhood.
And welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause.
There goes to the neighborhood.
All right. Welcome back to the Smokescreen Podcast, episode 24. And we just did 23 last week, and it was a basketball thing. We did Jordan. So we didn't plan this.
Because of his number 23,
episode 23. And we kind of got a bombshell dropped on us. The world did, I think, and stopped for a couple days. Still is. Not
if we were going to do another basketball and say we went with the number 24, who would come to your mind?
Well, Kobe.
I knew. I mean, if we were going to do another one consecutively, that's what it would be.
I mentioned it last week. I mentioned it last week, all the comparisons, and it pissed me off how people skip Kobe.
Yes.
So, yeah, we're going to talk about Kobe Bryant, and not just a basketball thing. We'll talk about some of that stuff as well, but just the overall impact. I did a live stream the other night. James couldn't make it, but I didn't know if I wanted to do it, and I figured we probably need to discuss it in depth more this week, and you agreed. But I didn't know if I wanted to do it because it hit me harder than I thought anything like that would, not being a big Kobe person in the beginning.
Yeah.
As a fan or whatever. But what made this worse, obviously, and me and you talked about as well last night, we had a great conversation. We probably should have recorded. But it was Gigi. You know, when you found out that his daughter was there, me and you both said the same thing, that we both pictured him clutching that little girl. And it was just, I mean, it broke my heart. And, you know, and of course, let me quickly mention the rest of the families too. There were seven other people there. You know,
it added a whole new level.
It was.
Like
it was a whole
new part of the news that came out.
It just got worse and worse. Yeah. Everything got worse and worse. The more you heard about it. First, it was like, I get up, I see some random news article, and I completely thought it was bullshit. I was like, Kobe, bullshit. I mean, literally just like that. And then here they come. And then I was like, oh my God, this ain't real. And you're trying to like reconfirm it or something.
Right.
It's really weird. You're trying to like go, even though there's a million articles already right in your face, you're still trying to look for something that says it's bullshit is what you're doing.
Because that happens.
Exactly.
Smokey Robinson's dead.
Yeah.
No, you find out, no,
that's
he's
right.
not. After you've already put rest in peace on Facebook, then you find out it's a lie.
Exactly. So there's been lots of cases like that. So you're looking for something to call bullshit on, and then, you know, you kind of sinks in for a second. Not really sinks in, but you know what I mean? You accept that it's real. Still doesn't seem real, but then you get the news that his daughter was with him. And at first there was four daughters. That was, I think, ABC reported maybe all four were on there. And it was all this kind of stuff. And I want to just mention, though, there's other people there. But, you know, I didn't know them. So my heart goes out to them and their families as well, obviously. But, yes, I mean, Kobe and Gigi were the ones, you know, obviously they're getting the attention.
Dude, if you heard Kobe Bryant died in a helicopter crash and there was a 13-year-old girl on board, it would be sad.
Yes.
But you make that 13-year-old girl his daughter.
Right.
That layer, being a dad.
Right. That's where it comes from.
It sucks.
Where it comes from. And
that's
when
the knot gets in your throat.
Yes.
When you talk about
and
it.
And, I mean, I was, you know, I didn't know this man. I knew, I came to respect him, like I said the other night. Came to respect him a lot over the last 15, 20 years and watching interviews and clips. And, you know, I did see him play a little bit before Jordan retired and all that. But I wasn't a Lakers fan, you know, whatever. I've always liked the Lakers because obviously Magic in the old days.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you knew of the Lakers. And I went to see the Lakers when they came to town and all that kind of stuff, like I did the Celtics too. But it was, I don't know, it's weird. But I guess the first thing I wanted to mention where I was kind of going with that is, I think there's a lot of people that think it's odd how a basketball player can affect so many people. Like, why are we really all sad if you didn't really know him? If he's not your family member or something, why are your feelings not valid?
Yeah.
And they are.
Are you so shallow that you're caught up in this and you didn't even know the guy? Well, we did know him.
Right.
And that's the hard part for people to understand.
Exactly.
He grew up right before our eyes.
Right. And he put himself out there. And if you're a Lakers fan or just a basketball fan in general, you, and like you said the other night, you invited him into your home, essentially.
Yep.
I mean, obviously virtually on the television, but when he's in the public eye, you do kind of know him.
Yeah.
And like I was mentioning the other night, he made the next generation dream again. You know, yeah. In our generation, it was Jordan. He was from the Jordan era. He was grew up watching Magic and Jordan. He had the posters on his wall.
Yeah.
So he was the next generation who inspired kids to dream. So it is a big deal. And so I just want to say, for people out there, don't think it's weird if you feel horrible, if you're sad about it and you didn't really know him, even if you weren't a basketball fan. It's not weird. It's normal. And me and James talked last night before even this podcast. What really tore us up, I think, both of us, and I think a lot of people, is the kid. Because I started going back to me and Camden on the basketball court and me teaching her how to shoot a jump shot and how to dribble and play defense, and then went over to softball and all that stuff, and I went right back there, and it just tore me up.
Yeah.
So that was the real connection that made it just horrible for me.
You know, a lot of I don't know how deep, you know, I want to take this, but it is deep, and it's a real big psychological discussion that could be had about how people get so attached. But, you know, Chris and I, we grew up in Kannapolis, North Carolina, which happened to be where Dale Earnhardt grew up.
Right.
If you could have seen, now it was big worldwide, I mean nationwide, don't get me wrong, when Dale Earnhardt died, but our town, there was a palpable pall.
Yes.
Hanging absolutely. Over our town for a few weeks after that.
Yes.
Every storefront, their marquees would have "Rest in peace, Dale. Thanks for the memories."
Yes.
And then you had these people who liked to sling mud going, "He just drove fast and turned left. How can it bother you so bad?"
Right, exactly.
I watched my dad mourn his death like just equal to my grandparents dying, his own parents.
Right.
These people, you don't realize how much, you know, pleasure these people give you. You know, it's an escapism thing.
It is.
Where you get to hang yourself, live vicariously through their accomplishments and stuff, and you're rooting right. for them the whole way. And things like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's absolutely a great thing. It's one thing, we kind of mentioned this last week, I think, but sports, basketball, whatever you want to pick, it's one of the few things that binds us all together and all our differences, whether it be political or whatever. That's one thing people can all rally around is their teams.
That's right.
It brings you together, and you know, you could be sitting in a bar or you know, a sports bar watching a game. It doesn't matter if it's a playoff game, Super Bowl, basketball game, whatever, and you don't know the dude beside you, but you're high-fiving him.
Right.
You don't know him from Adam. You don't know his name. You don't care what he looks like. You don't care his religion. You don't care his, you know, political stance. You're both on the same team, at least for those few hours.
Yeah.
And it's important.
Yeah.
Especially right now, where we're so divided.
That's
everything.
And I think that's a lot to do with this kind of thing, is this divisiveness mentality. Yes. is oh, you're upset about that? Well, I need to talk shit to you about it.
Right.
Listen, Lou Gehrig died like 80 years ago. I was not even born when he was playing, so I wasn't attached to his accomplishments on the field.
But right.
I'm telling you, like his speech about, "Today I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth," that still chokes people up who had no connection to him.
Right.
Sports figures, they just have a way of, you know, in their death and everything, they get into the public consciousness or something and weave themselves into the fabric deeper than people realize. Yes. Until they die.
Absolutely. And sometimes you don't realize it until they die. Then you realize what you were kind of not.
That's right.
I mean, you took it for granted
you're
or something.
So right.
It's really weird. It's really odd. So,
like, what do I owe this person? So when I complain about ticket prices,
exactly,
I really do get a lot more than I think.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, it's not invalid. The feelings are not invalid.
No.
I guess I forgot. I didn't even think about it. We added video this week.
Oh,
maybe
the elephant in the room.
I know it literally is. So this is temporary if we use this at all. So if you're listening to this or seeing it on YouTube and there is video, we've used it.
That's right.
But we may or may not. But this is temporary till we get moved and we have a proper studio. So we just wanted to add video for YouTube's sake.
Yeah.
So it'll be the same on every other platform, or whatever. But I didn't want to even notice it, so I didn't look at it and whatever, because I don't want anything to be unnatural.
Change, because these have been more like hangout sessions, kind of.
Yes, so I just want to quickly mention that, though, for YouTube.
It looks like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I don't think that fat guy over there is on the monitor is me. I don't know if I want to use
look,
this video.
Look, this is what I've been feeling for 5 years. I'm just telling you. It's
It's winter time, guys. I'm pasty and gained a few pounds over the holidays.
But this is temporary. Eventually, we'll have a we've already been talking about it. You know, the new place will have a dedicated studio, and I got
that's right.
We were measuring shit the other week about the room about tables and everything. So we got shit on the walls in our heads already, and the logo, and
it's gonna look great.
It's gonna look great.
So, we're gonna be the ugliest thing in the room.
Yes, we will be absolutely.
Hopefully it lifts us up a little.
And
bit.
I guess I could have, you know, I did shower, but I didn't shave or anything. I mean, I'm sitting here in a Metallica t-shirt and Jordan shorts.
It goes with the depression we're feeling. It's a weird couple days.
It's been bad.
And then watch your other heroes react to it, and they're crying. That hits you too, man.
Yeah, I saw you mentioned it too. We both saw Shaq's response today. Yeah. We read a bunch of responses from, you know, LeBron and Jordan and. But, yeah, you're seeing these, you know, grown men who have these close relationships. And really what's really – I'm trying to think, you know, it sounds cliche, but I want people to take something positive from it. And the only thing so far is that the big thing was, I think, the closest people to Kobe have been these players, former players, whatever, but with families that they connected off the court. Yeah.
Did you see Tracy McGrady?
Yes, they had a huge relationship on the court.
That was sad.
And a definite connection, obviously, off the court based off of that. So, Shaq, Uncle Shaq. He was Uncle Shaq to Gigi. And, I mean, it's like...
And Kobe just texted Shaq's son.
That day.
What's his name?
Damn it.
Me too.
I just said it a minute ago. I just said it earlier.
Yeah, you said it right off the top of your head.
Sharif.
I didn't even realize they were that close, but it makes sense.
Yeah,
I should have realized
that. He's like Uncle Kobe. He's helping coach their kids too.
That's right.
So, but Kobe's done a lot, like you mentioned before, for women's basketball and WNBA. He was going to games with Gigi there, and it was really cool to see those first clips of him and Gigi on the sidelines or watching the game, and then he's dissecting the game, and she's like saying, you know, telling him what she sees. So it was really
chip
cool.
Off the old block.
Chip
evidently.
Off the old block.
I never saw any highlights of her playing. AAU
I've been watching for 2 days now.
Was she really good?
She's got it.
Yeah,
I mean,
Tracy
very,
McGrady said she walked like him and carried herself like him.
I mean, very young, obviously 13, but yes, I mean, way ahead of.
The raw tools were there.
Yeah. I mean, way ahead of her time. So, but she just had that, and that's what he was always saying. And he was so proud of her, you know. And you saw it in interviews and all the, because I mean, every clip you can imagine, obviously, is on TV and YouTube and all everything for the last couple of days. Just hearing her talk about her, and that's what I'm saying. You know, what me and you connected with over the father thing, because it makes you start thinking about all that stuff in your own life and what you missed or what ended or whatever, just because they naturally grow up, and it fucking hits you right in the gut, man.
And that in itself is a positive thing.
Yes.
If it makes parents think, treasure every moment.
Right.
Hug them every chance you get. Tell them I love you every chance you get. That's positive. And Kobe would be proud to do
that. And that's what I'm hoping, you know, I said before, it's cliche, but I'm hoping that something like that positive comes from it, even if it won't last forever. Just, you know, where people, because I do believe in the last couple of days people have extra, you know, told their kids they love them more than usual or whatever, but if that could last a little longer, or the country in general could have a conversation a little longer and realize they can speak to each other regardless of their backgrounds.
That's right.
So something.
That's right.
It's almost like I wish, you know, I don't necessarily believe in it, but I wish destiny was a real thing. Maybe it is, but it feels like maybe Kobe could help save this country in a way. I don't know if that's too over the top,
no,
but you know,
listen,
what I mean?
Things start, like the butterfly effect.
The butterfly, thank you. There
from
you go.
Such a small thing, man.
Exactly what I meant.
And that could. Not saying it's going to change it now.
No.
But these little kids see how adults reacted to this, and then they grow up with a little more compassion and start reaching out to people. Because when you see Shaq crying and saying, I've been bad at responding to people.
Yes.
And you know I have that problem.
Yes.
So when I heard him say that, I was like, how many times am I going to let somebody go to voicemail, and then it's going to be the last time they call me? See, I'm going to get choked up.
Right, no, I get you. And I felt the same way with Shaq, because I had – and it was really confusing. We were talking about the Shaq thing. he said in that interview that the last time he spoke to Kobe was when he told him, you know, he needs 50 from him tonight, and he dropped 60 in his last game. But I know that's not the case because he did the interview in 2018, I believe.
That long interview.
The long 35
minute.
How
did he forget that?
So, I mean, I'm sure he's out of his mind. Yeah. I'm sure he's out of his mind about it because it's like he lost a family member. So, but that's what I mean. So that type of thing people are thinking about more and more, I believe.
One thing also that seeing, I guess, what would you call it, a backlash? People bringing up his negative past.
Yes.
It makes me glad that your enemies or people that don't like you don't write your obituary.
Yes, absolutely.
That's not cool. At
no,
the worst
it's
time
not.
In a family's life, he still has three living kids, right?
Three living kids
they
and a wife.
They don't need
and...
to be reading, well, you know he did this and that when he was younger.
Right, no.
We can't tweet that under the rug.
It's totally inappropriate, regardless of what actually happened
That's right,
or not.
Regardless.
It doesn't matter if it's absolutely 100% true, which I don't believe it is.
Yeah.
In this country, you're guilty only when you're proven to be.
Yeah.
Not
otherwise,
when a case is thrown out.
You are accused.
You are accused.
That's it.
And then, you know, so I saw some tweets that drove me crazy, and I don't want to get too heavy in all the negative shit, but I do want to mention this stuff. That was the first thing that really started driving me insane was on Twitter, and you know, I'm looking through it, reading little, you know, tweets from teammates and coworkers and whatever, and all the stuff he's doing now, because he was just now getting started into his business, and you know, the whole Mamba brand and the girls' basketball facilities and schools. But I saw all these tweets and was like, I seem to be forgetting that Kobe was I won't say the word because this could be demonetized or whatever, but...
Oh, yes, right. Yeah.
Sexual assault.
Yeah.
He was an assaulter.
Yeah, let's not forget that.
Let's not forget that. And
no,
it's like,
this is a time to forget it, I think.
That's exactly. It doesn't matter, like I said, if that's something that happened in the past, it's in the past. It's not the time to say that when people are mourning somebody, especially when you have his children involved and family.
Right.
This is not... That is the past for a reason. In this country, you're accused until you're found guilty or not. And he never had a trial. I know the details of the trial. We won't get into all that
and
here.
And like you said, though,
but the point is
even if he was proven that, we're bigger than that at this moment.
At this
to
moment,
say that.
Yes, exactly. Can you not just fucking leave it alone?
Yeah, be an example.
Be an activist next week,
right?
If you want to be an activist,
let him get buried or whatever they're gonna do.
Literally, he's not even cold yet, and I hate to say that too,
yeah,
but just to be real about
you're
it,
right?
And this is what was being tweeted and stuff, and it just drives me insane. There was a big example: Evan Rachel Wood, who plays Dolores on Westworld.
A show that we like.
A show that I watched the first two seasons. They just released, or three's fixing, they're starting to talk about three coming out. I think there's been a trailer come out. And I just saw, you know, she tweeted out, it's an incredibly sad day. It's a tragedy. And I'm paraphrasing here, so you can look it up if you want to. I believe it's still on Twitter. But, so I'm incredibly sad for Kobe and his family, but he was also a rapist. And these two things can be simultaneously true.
Right.
And even the people that would normally agree with her replied to this tweet and said, this is not the time. You know, I used to respect you, this and that, but now this, you know, basically fuck you.
Come on, buddy. You good.
Come on, big dog. He's trying to get through the camera. Come around the other way.
You smart. Good job.
The studio dog. But yeah, so.
So yeah, I agree with that. No matter how factually correct what you say is,
which is not, but
doesn't
yes.
make. But that's what I'm saying. No yeah, matter how factually
exactly.
correct it is, doesn't mean it's not ugly and tasteless. Doesn't mean that. And there's a time and place for everything.
It was absolutely
and
tasteless.
What is going on in somebody's life that's so bad that makes them spew that kind of venom in such a sensitive
at
time?
That time, exactly. And that's what I mean. That's what I don't understand about these type of people. They live through these prisms, and it drives me insane. And this is what I mentioned this a little bit here and there when we used to do live streams about politics and shows and movies and all that. But this is what I mean. It's like they wake up and they have to find somebody's life to ruin.
Yeah, we weren't raised in that kind of time.
No,
I don't know where this new...
I don't either. And then to see things through that prism of some kind of, like, you know, whatever club you're in or box you've placed yourself, some arbitrary group
yeah.
that you've created and you've joined, And then they all are bad, and we're all the, but we're the benevolent ones over here. We're standing on our soapboxes over here. We have the moral high ground. It just drives me fucking crazy. And so, honestly, she got a lot of, I think it's still up. Actually, I could check, but she's got a lot of backlash, even from people who would normally agree with her because of the timing. And obviously, she did it for a reason. She didn't not think it through.
Yeah. And we're not trying to sell you, the listener, on Kobe. I'm not trying to make you feel one way or another about him. I'm talking about, in general terms, this is ugly. And this is a first world problem.
It is.
If we got it so good that we can start shooting people down, their legacy down, as soon as they're dead.
Before they even confirmed.
Right.
You know? Before we knew the victim's names.
We've got it awfully good.
Exactly.
And honestly, man, I'll tell you something else that's brought out in the same vein. It's brought out, and we have a good friend, a mutual friend between us who has put something out that said it had pictures of fallen servicemen in the military, and like, this is the kind of heroes we should be mourning. They died too this week. Isn't it petty that all these people are caught up crying over somebody who made millions playing a game?
Right.
Okay. I see where you're going, but to me, it's apples and oranges, Chris.
It is apples. It's not comparable at all. It's not comparable.
We
at all.
Aren't, really connected to all the service members. Just because somebody seems sad about a millionaire basketball player doesn't mean they're not sad.
Exactly.
And or could care less about, a military person losing their lives. But we don't have a military reality TV show where we can get invested in these people or something. Not that I want one. I'm just saying we don't know them, and there's no face.
We know that there's heroes that die every day.
Yeah,
overseas,
firemen, policemen.
Firemen and cops and first responders in general and all that stuff. And we're aware of that. And when I see those posts, I do think about them.
Yeah.
So it's just wrong to say that your feelings are invalid and you should be worrying about these people versus these people. It's just not the way it works.
If you are sad about this one, then by default you hate or don't care about this one.
Yeah, that's not correct. In any way, shape, or form, that's not logical at all. And it don't make any sense, and it's just not true. And as I mentioned before we got started, in the cases where you do learn about a service member, for example, Chris Kyle, I'll just use him as an example.
Oh, you mean where they do get in the public
where
eye?
Where they do get in the public eye, then it's a lot bigger of a deal than, kind of the, Joe Blow you don't know.
Right.
That you never hear about getting killed or coming home or whatever.
Yeah.
But he got big in the media because he wrote a book about it. He was obviously the Navy SEAL sniper that was killed by a veteran he was trying to help on a gun range.
Yeah.
So you don't hear about, that was a big deal because, he got into more of the public eye, and so it was a big deal when he died. And America mourned. They had a funeral procession down a huge stretch of highway, and people were hanging flags over the bridges.
Overpasses and shit. Yeah, we still do that here for local ones sometimes. You'll see that. That's really cool that you went there, because that's where my mind was at, was the overpasses and all that stuff. So they are. When we do acknowledge them, it's just, for me personally, when I hear about a serviceman losing their life or something happening overseas, it feels more like a blanket thing. Like, oh, man. So when you view it through that kind of lens where it's a blanket thing, it doesn't hurt as bad.
Right.
And maybe this is a good learning lesson where you can acknowledge, thank more people when you run into them on the street and that they served and things like that. So that is good.
And
in a way.
If they were even mentioned more I don't watch mainstream news anymore. I haven't for probably a couple of years now, at least, because it's just all bullshit for the most part. But, if that was mentioned more, if good stories were mentioned more, we would know more about them and their family. So when I see one, I'm absolutely feel bad about it, because I know that I'm sitting here sitting here in my living room with the freedom to sit here and do a podcast talking to you or anybody, talk about anything I want. I can bash my government because those people are dying or have died in the past and future veterans as well.
And we can have people come from the poorest parts of our country and make millions of dollars playing a game.
Absolutely.
Because of the sacrifice.
Exactly. So it's not the same thing. Like you said, I think the bottom line to that is just because more people, and this is more public, feel this about Kobe and his daughter and the rest of the families and people that were killed in this horrible crash, it doesn't mean we hate or don't care about servicemen.
That's right.
And women. It just don't make any sense. So it's not a comparable thing.
And this goes back to how invested we get. Like I was saying about my dad and Dale Earnhardt.
Yes.
You know, you hang so much on them week to week, game to game or whatever, that they do feel like part of your family.
Yeah, and another thing really quick too is the difference is, for example, you this perfect example using Dale Earnhardt. Around here, it was a big deal. And it was a big deal nationwide and worldwide because racing had gotten so popular. But here, it was a bigger deal, obviously. Just like today, it's a bigger deal in L.A.
That's right.
Because
That's right.
here, he was from here. If you lived around here, you knew the Earnhardts in some way, shape, or form.
Yep.
You knew their family members. You knew Dale Jr.
That's right.
Us as kids hung out with Dale Jr. So it was a bigger thing here than it would be, for example, in California.
But somewhere in Idaho, there might have been a Dale Earnhardt fan who was really affected
exactly,
by it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Philadelphia is where he was from. I'm sure Philadelphia and L.A. would be, if you could see a graph.
If you could see like a heat graph.
Yeah,
exactly. It would be red hot there.
That's right. That's a good point to make.
So, yeah. So all that bullshit about you shouldn't, you know, just let people, you know, their feelings are not invalid. So it doesn't matter what you say. You're not going to change their minds. It's not like I'm going to say, you know what? He was just a basketball player. Fuck him.
That's right.
I'm not going to say that no matter what you
post.
You're
not going to get that response.
But really quick, though, before I forget, to finish off what I was saying about the Twitter thing. Evan and Rachel Wood, who plays Dolores again on Westworld.
Yeah.
There was a podcast called the Westworld Podcast or Westworld Cast, I believe, and it was in a network of pretty big podcasts, from my understanding. They fucking canceled it. That's literally
what the show was about.
It was only about Westworld. They canceled the podcast and retweeted her tweet and quoted, well, they quoted her tweet and then posted, "We will no longer be doing the Westworld cast because of what this insensitive bitch," basically is what they were saying.
Yeah.
And we will no longer be affiliated with anything she does.
Right.
So then all of a sudden, I'm just saying that's one example. I don't know how big they were. I know there's other people like that, though. And now it's going to have a ripple effect at HBO. Ooh. I can guarantee it.
Mm-hmm.
Because she didn't delete it like most people would have. Because, I mean, the internet's forever. Once you post it, it's there forever.
That's right.
I don't care if you hit delete in 2 seconds. It's there.
That's right.
But she followed it up with like a, "Look, what I meant to say was this. Your feelings are valid, but let's not forget this over here, blah, blah, blah. Just calm down, people." And it's like, no.
No, we knew what you meant.
We knew what you meant.
It's still tasteless.
And you know it is, and you don't care.
That's right.
And, yeah, you can forget the whole Westworld thing now for a lot of people, because Westworld Season 3, now it just lost a lot of money.
I love it.
And I love it. I do. I do, because it's exactly what she gets.
And we are anti-cancel culture.
Absolutely.
But there needs to be backlash.
But if you want to be part of that culture, then welcome to the club.
Welcome to the club.
Because you get a taste of your own medicine, that's fine with me.
Yeah. Yeah,
because they need to understand that, you know, mm-hmm. because whatever. And, I'm sorry. I don't want to get off on a tangent and make this all about.
For better or worse, wrong or right or whatever, you know, when I was coming up in my house, it was we can, you know, talk about the things we don't like about our neighbors, but we don't go dog them to their face or to their kids.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You only confront your neighbor and talk shit to them when they do something that directly impacts you.
Right.
I don't know. Like I said, I'm not saying that's right to be in your house saying, "Did you notice the neighbor looks like he's running around with his wife this week?" You know, it's not saying that's right to be sitting there talking like that, but I'm just saying you don't go over there and tell his kids, "You know, your daddy's a worthless," you know.
I know.
Whatever.
But those few people who do usually get their fucking teeth knocked out.
Right.
But on the internet,
it's different.
You're a keyboard warrior.
Yeah.
There's no consequences for you if you're just, you know, a regular old Joe Blow, right?
Yep.
But at least in her case, there will be some kind of blowback for maybe she'll sit back and think, "You know what? That was insensitive. I should delete it and apologize."
Right.
Now, she won't do it because she's too proud in her whatever. But
I hate nothing more than insincere apologies.
Yes, exactly. But like you I'm going to, for the sake of closing this argument, I'm going to look. I'm going to see if she's still got this.
I hope
up.
This can be a learning moment for her.
I hope so, because like I said, a lot of her followers are people that would normally be on her side in everything she tweets.
Right.
In her political stance, they were even like, "Come on now, you just lost my respect and all that stuff." Okay, well, never mind. She has now protected her tweets. Only confirmed followers can now read her tweets.
It's there right you there. Go.
So yeah, there you go. Well, anyway, that didn't last long. So maybe now she'll start to get a taste of when somebody has a different political opinion that she doesn't agree with, and then they send the mob over to destroy them. Maybe she kind of gets a feeling of what that's like now for saying something stupid.
That's right. And
so I'm not gonna shed a tear for her.
No. I mean, she wouldn't want that. She wouldn't want her parents or anybody that's left behind, if she passed away, to have to hear about her worst skeleton in her closet.
Right, which she does have some.
You know, there you go.
And again, it's not to bash on any particular person.
No, we're trying to make broad points is all we're trying to do.
Right, so that was just, you know, we wanted to make sure we brought up those couple of things about kind of the anti-Kobe stuff going on the last couple of days.
And how I don't know, society is in an ugly place right now.
It is.
And so like we were saying earlier, if Kobe can have some positive effect, cause some positive, you know, what's the word, constructive conversations to happen,
that's
awesome. That's better than the five championships.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's all we can hope for.
I said this, you know, today, you can dog the man for being a millionaire, for playing a game and everything. And I'm telling you right now, in that moment, when he had that oh shit realization, this something's about to happen. Yes. And my daughter's right here beside me and my friends. He would give up all of his accomplishments and every dollar he ever made to be able to make sure his daughter got out of there alive.
Absolutely. No doubt about it.
The everything's put in perspective. And trust me, it's when you see people, like, even on a smaller scale, they're not dead or anybody, but like these quarterbacks who have children with severe diseases and stuff,
right,
and watch them suffer. They would give up all their accomplishments on the football field.
Everything. I mean, and that's the, we mentioned that last night too, is, I mean, Kobe would have given all his rings to Shaq and all his trophies to Shaq, so he had a total of 7 or whatever, if it, you know, and that, you know how that rivalry goes. But yeah, I mean, as a parent, there is a different perspective. We talked about this a little bit last night. I don't think that people who are just casual fans even would kind of connect on that level, in the sense of thinking about those. Because the first thing, man, you said was, I picture her cradling that girl.
Oh.
I mean, I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
You know, as they start to descend or whatever happened. I guess it was fog related or something.
Got to be
really
screaming, commotion going on.
Yeah. I mean, when we both said that.
Yeah, hold her. I'm sure he grabbed her and held her and told her he loved her and everything.
It's going to be okay.
Everything will be okay. Something. I've got you.
And, something. That's what really hit home.
Because I told you, this is a kind of a humorous way to look at it, but we had a deep talk about being parents last night. And I told Chris, and you guys out there know, I am a big chicken shit when it comes to ghosts and shit like that.
Yes.
But
yes.
I was telling Chris,
right,
if I'm in a house by myself, and I hear a creak or something, or
right,
it's a door, I'm scared shitless. Right. But you let my son be asleep in the room next to me, and I'm like, I wish a motherfucker would break in here. I don't know what happens there. There's something instinctive in you.
It is. You have to be the strong one.
Yeah.
You do.
It comes out naturally,
so,
too.
There you go. That tells you, if you can, for you, James, if you can get that mindset all the time, then you're not, you maybe won't be scared of the creeks.
If I saw Landon or Brooklyn getting mauled by a shark, I would swim out there too.
Absolutely. And try
so
to
weird.
Do something. You'd beat the shit out of his eyeball. I don't know what,
yeah,
you know, you'd try something.
My greatest fear, I could overcome it.
Absolutely.
Because of my kids.
You wouldn't think twice about it.
So we know.
You wouldn't stand on the beach with your toes in the water and go, try to swim this way.
Chris, look.
Right. You wouldn't think twice about it. You'd be paddling as hard as you possibly could.
And you hear about, like, these these ladies getting superhuman strength and lifting cars off their kids and stuff.
Yeah, I'm picturing you on the beach.
Swinging a fucking great white around my head.
Exactly. I don't know why. Sorry. But yeah, you do hear those stories, the superhuman strength in that moment, you know, fucking all of a sudden superwoman or something.
Yeah, and so we just know because he didn't have a choice to cradle her. Mm-mm. It comes out naturally.
No, that was the first thing. I remember it happened instinctually. That was the first thing I thought about when you said that last night, that I didn't actually say out loud, but I thought about it. I remember being a kid riding around with my mom, whether it was an old beat up pickup truck or later on we had a pretty badass Grand Prix. But anytime she would have to slam on brakes for some asshole that slammed on in front of us or whatever, she always, her arm just shot over there and smacked me in the chest. Yes. Like she was going to hold me back with one arm from going through that windshield.
When you're young, you're thinking, she has to plan this. But
no,
it's natural.
No, it's absolutely natural.
You have your own kids.
And you do the same thing. And then you think back to those times when you're riding in the car with mom.
That's right.
And you went, you know, little brake check. And her arm smacks you in the chest or the face, whatever. She's going to hold you back with that one arm.
Right.
That seatbelts be damned.
And here, you know? So if you just take that to the extreme, if she saw a car coming head on or y'all were about to rear end a semi or something, then you know it wouldn't have just been an arm. She would have dove on top of you
and
would have had no role in it. It would have just happened.
And absolutely.
That's where Chris and I's hearts and mind went.
Immediately.
Like, it was sad to hear Kobe, but when you heard his 13-year-old daughter was with him, it hit home hard.
It really did. And it was odd. It was odd because I've seen a lot of my, you know, heroes, and well, I don't know if you call them all heroes, but big names. You know, I remember Bernie Mac a couple of years ago.
Yes, that's a good
John
one.
Witherspoon recently as comedian that I mm-hmm. loved as growing up. And, you know, you thought, damn, man, I hate he's gone. I loved his stuff. And because I went to see Bernie Mac in concert, for example, up in Greensboro and things like that. But it's not, you know, you feel horrible, but, you know, you think about it a couple of days and it's kind of over.
Right.
And you kind of get on with your life. And I think that's normal for, unless you're in that family, obviously. But this was different because of the Gigi situation. And it was just the first thing. You can't get over it like that. It's not that easy.
No.
My mind immediately, like I said, went back to those days with Camden and sports and all that kind of stuff as well. So it's
and his
really
age.
Crazy.
And his age.
Yes.
Like he didn't get to accept his induction into the Hall of Fame and give his speech. And
right.
He didn't get to watch his kids graduate high school and all that jazz and walk them down the aisle. Like when Muhammad Ali died, that hurt my feelings. But that man had a long life.
Right, right.
Michael Jackson, at least, you know, Michael was in his 50s, you know, and he had lived as much as he wanted to.
And there was some drug issues there,
you know,
too.
Yeah, Prince.
Right.
Exactly. And you hear about the drugs and stuff. And so, you know, even with those and the allegations of Michael Jackson, before he's buried, it's not cool to go, well, you remember those allegations.
No,
it's not
right.
cool, man. He's
right.
got kids.
Just have some fucking tact. You know, so there's been several people that's died or whatever. And the difference is, though, I think for a lot of those guys and gals is that it's kind of expected in a way. And I don't make it any better.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, it is. When they're older or there's some kind of disease involved or, you know, in some cases, drugs and things like that,
yeah.
It's not as big of a shocker.
No.
Because, like for example, it's just off the top of my head. I've always wondered how Ozzy Osbourne's still alive.
Yeah. It's weird.
You know, because he did so many bad things
horrible
to his body.
Things, yeah.
And now, of course, now he does have a couple of real things going on, and I feel for him. But
Keith Richards.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just throwing out a couple of names because I just saw that Ozzy thing on day before on some interview he did on ABC, actually, with I think Robin Gibbons interviewed them at the house, and now he does have some form of Parkinson's.
I can see that,
and so it's confirmed now.
Okay,
you know? But it's called something light. But anyway, the point being that, you know, he's older now. He still loves to do what he's doing. He's still going around rocking the place, but now he can't for a little while until he tries to get over this. And so, but if that happened tomorrow, God forbid, I'm just saying it wouldn't be as shocking,
right?
But just because of, you know, his past.
Right.
And what he's done to his body.
And, you know, for some reason, this just hit me. Because people have, you know, their opinions. I have my own opinions on Anna Nicole Smith, you know, being a gold digger and doing drugs and things like that. But if you remember the events surrounding her death, she basically mourned herself to death because her son died, like a week or so before she died.
Right.
And there's just something when you add that element of a kid into it that, regardless of all this superficial stuff, your heart just goes out, you know.
I can't imagine right now, and if, for any parent, anybody that loses a child, but I can't imagine Vanessa right now and her the other three girls. I mean, damn.
Exactly where I was taking that. Yep.
Imagine. Not a husband and a daughter, and then the kids, a sister and a father, all at the same time. And then the other families. Another father and daughter on there, a pair, and his wife, the whole family, essentially.
Exactly.
So there was so many families ripped apart, and that ripple effect that goes out beyond that people that were connected to all of them. And I hate not knowing all those people, but it's just, you know, it's just, they wasn't known, obviously. It's not as Kobe Bryant was. Right. So when we're saying all this, this all applies to them too, I guess, is what I'm saying.
It does. And of course, Vanessa is going to have a larger support system than, you know, any Joe Blow on the street who has like a, you know, a spouse and a child die in a car crash or something, and then they have the other kids left at home to face and watch them get older. They're going to remind them of their spouse. They're going to remind them of their sibling that they lost. It's hard. So that's another thing that you can do when you see a Facebook or Twitter post of a friend or someone acquaintance who loses someone close to them. Maybe just offer kind words to them because the survivors are the ones that suffer. Kobe and his daughter are in a better place right now. I like to believe that.
Right.
Even if you don't believe in heaven or hell, they don't have to deal with any long-term diseases later in life and watch people wither away right before their eyes.
Right.
All their worries and troubles are gone, but Vanessa and the other children have to live with this forever and ever and ever.
Exactly. And it's heartbreaking, man. And it's like you mentioned, not just the Hall of Fame induction, you know, whatever, because at some point,
obviously that was the first place my mind went. Sure, like, we got robbed of a good Hall of Fame speech.
Yeah, exactly. But Shaq mentioned it today too, thinking about those things, like he's not going to be able to, like, who would he have picked to induct him?
Oh, yeah.
What would his, you know, his speech have been like? But now it's going to be like some post-mortem speech by somebody on their behalf that she's probably got to choose. I don't know.
Yeah.
But more, even bigger than that is, no more games. No more going to her games.
That's
and,
right.
You know, no more not walking her down the aisle one day or, you know, sending her off to prom and taking those pictures and those little moments that people cherish, you know. That,
yes.
And it's easy to sit up here and talk about all this and I'm not perfect. I don't appreciate it. I mean, I don't appreciate enough those little moments, and that's what really
hit
home.
Which is why we're doing this. This is something we've been reflecting on for a couple of days.
Exactly.
And,
so,
and you know, we have beautiful kids, and we don't have grandkids yet.
I hope not.
But you know, that is something we're looking forward to when that time comes. Sure.
I don't know, man. Speak for yourself. Yeah, when that time comes.
What I've learned in the last couple of days is Kobe was way more of a family man than I ever knew.
Yes.
And I believe it wholeheartedly. I couldn't be convinced. I mean, too many people have said too many things.
Too many people, same story.
There's too many videos of him doing things with his kids. I totally believe that. And so I know Kobe was the kind of guy who was thinking one day they're going to make beautiful grandkids for me. Like you said, walking them down the aisle.
Right.
He got robbed. And now Vanessa with the other ones is going to have to experience this knowing that she would have been standing beside Kobe with a gleam in his eyes.
Yes.
And now that's never going to happen. She's going to be consumed with grief for quite a while, and it breaks my heart.
Yeah,
and this, like you said, all the other families, too, that were in there.
Right. This is not going to be, a couple months and everything's fine type thing. It's just not. And that goes for anybody that loses a dad or
a mother
or brother and sister. But I don't know. It was just I just hope that people can, you know, think about those things because it can be over in a second. It can be it.
Right.
It's just crazy. And it makes us – make you know, I mean, it makes you think about mortality, you know.
It does.
It always, that comes up now and then, you know, when you lose somebody in your family or you see a, like somebody, you know, a death on TV or something. But it makes you think, man. I mean, especially as you get older, you know, there's less years in front than behind. You never really accept that. I guess at some point you do. I don't know. I'm not trying to say, I'm still trying to believe that, you know, I have a lot of life to live and I'm going to make plans and try that, those things, but you just never know. It's just crazy. I mean, it could just be like that and it's gone. So it's crazy.
And if this causes friends to sit around having these kind of conversations, because Chris and I were talking about Santa Claus, Tooth Fairy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We were talking about all that stuff last night about how, you know, just what being a parent is and what it really, really is.
What it really is, exactly.
Making babies. Right. You know? It's raising them kids.
That's right.
Instilling
it's all those things. It's all those moments and all those, like I told James last night, when people say Santa Claus isn't real, bullshit. He is.
He is.
Because guess what? I was.
And I was.
I mean, I, you know.
And that's so fun.
And that's what sucked when she got old enough to, you know, and found out the whole situation. It's like Christmas wasn't the same to me.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Santa's way skinnier than I thought. And he looks a lot like my dad.
Exactly. He's tall. But no, but you know, so that sucked. But you know, we still had other things coming.
That's
and memories to make. So, yeah. So you think about all that stuff, and once that's over, like she lost her last tooth. Well, damn it, I can't sneak in there and slide a $5 bill under her pillow like I did so many times.
I know. Now you literally were a ninja.
Yeah, right.
But I'm telling you, I turned into a ninja when it was Tooth Fairy duty.
Exactly.
I could walk stick like my hand underneath a pillow with somebody sleeping 10 inches from my face.
Yes.
Take a tooth out and replace it with money, and they never even sniffled.
I remember one time, just a quick story. Story time. Got time for a quick story? One time, Camden put her tooth under her pillow, and I had, you know, I'd forgotten that day because I think I didn't have...
Oh, cash?
Cash.
Credit card under pillow.
So, no, here's what I did. I got slick about it. I went in there and snuck the tooth out and laid it on the floor. And it was in the container.
I see what you're saying.
I laid it on the floor beside her bed. And so the next day, and she may not know this story, so I don't know if she listened to this or not.
This is a great story.
So I laid it on the floor next to her bed in the little container she put it in. And when she didn't have money, she was like, where's my... $5 or dollar or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, look, your tooth's on the floor. It wasn't under the pillow.
That's awesome.
So the next night I had cash and, you know, so.
Yeah. That is freaking great. So, and that's what being a parent does to you.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
It turns you into that quick thinking.
Exactly. Because you learn to solve problems.
Under pressure.
Exactly. What do I do? I can't leave the house at 2 o'clock in the morning and go to the bank, you know. So, yeah, I went in there and slid it out, laid it on the floor so it wouldn't be lost, and said, well, shit, it fell out. You must have rolled over. It fell out from under your pillow.
It makes you write creative notes from Santa like, maybe your mommy and daddy have batteries.
Right.
The elves forgot to pack them on the sleigh.
Exactly.
Something like that. I mean, you think of you try to cover every base.
Every angle.
It's so right. cool, man.
That's right. So, anyway, I mean, that's the biggest thing that I take from this whole thing with Kobe, obviously, and I believe you feel the same way. We've talked about it basically two nights now, but it's just an overall horrible situation, but maybe at least me and you at least are sitting here having this conversation about our kids and our past and what we connected with him on, and as far as this tragedy, maybe other people can do the same.
That's what life is making a collection of memories.
And then hopefully being able to go back and access those.
That's right. You access when you need to be lifted up. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Because you get those nights, man, where you're just feeling down whatever. And I know I've done it a million times where I'll go in there and pull out old high school yearbooks and just want to reminisce. And it just takes you to a different place and kind of
get
your mind off things.
When you had that wreck. You said, you know how people say your life flashes before your eyes? It literally does. you said you were seeing Cam to me and Bourne and all this that, crazy
and
stuff.
Then, you know, and I thought my last words were, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I literally thought that because that's what I said. And, yeah, so that was insane. It was insane. That's something that that's a sound I'll
and
never
forget. And that shows you that's life. Because when you feel like your life's going to leave your body, that's what's flashing through your mind.
Yeah.
Those memories you build.
It is. It was. And it was like, and I literally had all those thoughts. And then it was like, oh, shit. And then there was a quick little thought. I remember, that's going to be my last words. Because just, I guess for some context.
How does that happen in microseconds? I don't know.
It was the Matrix. I swear to God.
It's so weird,
man. Well, everybody has that feeling. If you've ridden a bike, and you've ever flown over the handlebars, or you're on a skateboard,
yes,
and you crack, and
time slows down.
It slows down. It's the Matrix, I'm telling you. And just for some context, I had never had a wreck other than really tiny bump up type things.
Yeah.
But I was going to work one day, actually, which is, it was a Microsoft, a rare occasion where I was going in on a day off to make up some hours because I had missed a day for something. Uh-huh. I was just like, I'm going to go to work and help out, make some hours up. Don't know why. Raining that day, so I was getting onto the highway onto Interstate 85, and I fished, like, I wasn't speeding or any of that shit. It was just going around the on ramp, you know, the curve.
Yep.
And my rear end got loose and hydroplaned a little bit, and then I wasn't even panicking because I've done that a million times. You straighten it out,
that's,
you know,
right.
But you're going around this curve, and then my front right wheel hit a curb on the on ramp, which I don't know why. There's a curb there, because if there wasn't a curb, I would have just hit the little sign and been stopped.
That's right.
And never even been close to the highway. No, my front wheel hits the curb.
Changes your
bounces
trajectory.
Me out to the left, and I spin on to the highway. And I say spin, I mean 360 spinning on the sweat surface. And my luck, I don't get a space in traffic. I don't get a little Honda or no, you know, or like a light sparse traffic.
Right.
I get two semi trucks. And I'm facing them.
Dude, I saw your truck, your vehicle afterwards.
And I mean, it was one of those moments of, you know, rethinking the whole God thing, because it hit me a foot behind the door in the perfect spot for the angle I was at.
Blew the windows out. It's crazy.
That's a sound I'll never forget. I'll tell you that. So needless to say, sometimes on the highway, long trips, I would get those sweaty palms I never had before. But anyway,
to touch on what we were talking about earlier, I guarantee you, if Camden would have been in the car with you, your thoughts wouldn't have been there. It would have been right there with her.
That's the first thing.
Crazy, you know.
The first thing when I got hit, I remember the bang and spinning, and then ended up in the median. I remember the pain. My whole left body was on fire and numb at the same time. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And the first thing I thought was, please, I was so glad that Camden went with me or Riddick in the back seat.
Oh, yes.
So,
loved that car, though.
I did too.
I hated that.
I know.
What exactly? It was a Tahoe?
Tahoe, yeah.
It was nice. Nice rims.
Yeah, man. I missed the Tahoe still. Anyway. But, yeah, size, I don't know how we got off on that tangent. But, anyway, there was those moments. Yeah,
right.
Those moments. So,
This has been a fun podcast. I'm telling you, man. I knew we were going to be talking about a depressing thing, but I'm leaving here feeling kind of uplifted.
Yeah, me too, and I hope that's what people get from it, because it's not, you know, wasn't about necessarily Kobe, the basketball player, because, you know, you got stats,
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I did two stats cards.
Because, I mean, there's always going to be...
They're not important.
No, they're not. They're not in the scheme of things. They're not important. It's not about, you know, comparisons between, you know, Jordan and LeBron and Kobe and those type of things. That's not what this is about right now. I saw a couple people asking shit like that, and I was like, this ain't the time to be comparing Kobe and Michael or anybody. It's just not the time. It's just weird. But anyway, yeah, that's our thoughts on it. I think
that's
we've
awesome.
Got them, most of them out. I think we'll probably,
yeah,
I'm sure we'll stop everything and go, God, we forgot to mention something.
I think we hit the high points. And that's really important. We got some good messages out there, and I mean, I think they're good. You know,
yeah, I think the main thing is just, you know, it's not invalid to feel bad or feel you know, hurt or sad or whatever from somebody you don't know.
Nope.
It's not. And then
say I love you before you say goodbye to your people you care about, because you never
and,
know.
And
it's gonna be the last time.
And I guess, so, you know, something really quick is, life's too short for all those petty little squabbles.
It is.
So fucking, if you're having a problem with your mom or your dad, call them.
Yeah.
Don't play too proud. That's, you know, because right. I've done that too. I'm just as guilty.
Me too. You know I am.
Yeah, yeah. We know a couple, you know, personal things about that, but as far as our own parents and stuff, but yeah, don't be too proud to call mom or dad and, you know, say, you know, just break the ice, whatever, if there's an issue, is all that's I'm right. saying. Because life's too short for all the petty bullshit. And I just hope people can learn something like that, you know.
I do too, man. So, or at least think about it for a while, and them thinking about it, causing them to act, even if they only act for a week, that could trickle to somebody else. They could pick up on your positivity.
It opens up a door.
That's right.
And whether you choose to walk through it, you know, that's right. again, personal choice. But
well, it's crazy to be in front of the camera again.
Yeah, we didn't want to like look at the camera and think about it because we didn't want to affect anything. And I think we did okay.
We accomplished that. I was paranoid about it, but this felt super comfortable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, so hopefully they'll dig it on YouTube. And again, we're gonna upgrade this. It's gonna be another month. It's gonna be 3 or 4, at least
yes.
4 months before I get over there in the new place. And I've already walked through one of the models and everything now, so I've seen the room now, so we can start like really thinking about it. But that's going to be a while, so this is kind of temporary. We'll have a nice little a really cool setup, I think.
I've enjoyed it,
so I look forward to it. So anyway, we'll I think that'll do it, man.
All right,
and we'll as usual let it
fade to black.